Boss Man Show. Nicholas Askew, director of swimming and diving and tennis here at Howard, our favorite school, the Boss Man Show at Howard Bison. Coach Askew, what is up, my man? How things up there in D.C., my brother?
Boss Man, what's good, man? Thanks so much for having me, bro. Everything is cool up here. You know, we're doing the best we can under the circumstances. It's a crazy time in our world and at the university and in sport. But, you know, we weren't built to break, baby. We're gonna get through this.
Coach, tell us, how has COVID been managing two different sporting doctrines, first and foremost, you know, and keeping everybody in line and safe? Because, you know, the pool is somewhere you can kind of distance, and I don't know how the virus works in the water. Tennis court, definitely distance for sure. So I make sure the balls are not, you know, with stuff on the balls. So how has it been trying to manage your squads, keeping everybody in shape, knowing they got to do different stuff to stay in shape for each doctrine or sport that they have?
Yeah, man, it hasn't been easy, let me tell you. Trying to manage it with one sport is difficult, and then you just multiply that because, you know, having both programs. But the God honest truth is we've got incredible student athletes. You know, they're really determined to get through this, and that's something that, you know, is absolutely helping the situation. Number two is we've got an amazing support staff and coaching staff that is constantly trying to stay in contact, constantly trying to send information so that the athletes, no matter where they are, you know, for our swimmers and divers, you know, we've got people who haven't even been able to touch water since March. And, you know, swimming's a sport where you can't take a couple months off and come back, you know, and expect big things. You know, you really have to be touching water and on a regular basis. So what we've been able to do with them is continuing with our strength and conditioning staff to send them workouts to help them do something, you know, stay in some type of shape. On the tennis side, it's the same thing. We've got people who haven't really been able to get on the courts since March and April. So we've been sending them workouts and sending everyone things that are going to help them when we are able to get back safely. Nope.
Yeah, Coach.
And that's honestly, it cut out a little bit. I'm sorry.
Are you good,
the,
man?
The big thing for us is making sure that in some way we come back better, you know, and that's what the support staff is really working on. And we're trying to make sure that our team is safe physically and mentally, you know, because this is really tough times that we're dealing with, things that there is no playbook that we can go by, you know. You can't just go and look and say, okay, this is how we manage this. We're really trying to do the best we can in managing it, you know, day to day.
Now, Coach, you are a dual sport athlete yourself. You was a swimmer, diver, and a tennis player. So tell me, Coach, how was that as a kid trying to, you know, me, I played basketball, football, tennis, but, you know, you're swimming in tennis. So how was that as a kid trying to manage those two different sports right there as a kid?
Yeah, let me tell you, my parents, they were smart. I'm the third of three boys. I have two older brothers, Joe and Mark, and we had a lot of energy, and my parents recognized that. So they said, okay, look, let me tell you, we're going to put these boys in every activity we can find. And, you know, we're very blessed to have grown up, you know, just two blocks away from a recreational center that had a track, tennis courts, Olympic-sized pool, playground. So literally that's where I spent most of my days. And, you know, whether it was organized, you know, playing ball or sports, or it was unorganized pickup games, et cetera, that's what we did all day, every day. And my two sports really streamlined into swimming and tennis because those were the two that I had the most exposure to, had the most development for. And there's one, you know, my parents, they knew that swimming had to be one of the sports we had to be in, because there's one thing for sure. After you swim, you're tired.
Yes.
So there was no time or space for foolishness. You know, once we got home, you know, both my parents were super hard workers. My mom was a nurse. So when she got home, you know, she had given a lot at work. So we needed to make sure that, or they needed to make sure that, you know, between the three boys, the house wasn't too torn down, and that, you know, we didn't cause too much ruckus once she did get home. But it was cool, you know, going through high school and really kind of getting into just those two sports and dedicating most of my time to those. You know, it was a lot, and I really attribute just some fantastic mentors and people who supported me growing up to be able to have the chance to go to Howard And to be able to swim for a Division I HBCU and to be able to play Division I tennis, it was just amazing. And but it was time consuming, let me tell you.
Now, Coach, like you said, Coach, you actually coach at your alma mater. How cool is that, man? Actually, being a Bison and lead the program that you played for, man. That's a one of a lifetime kind of thing, man. Because a lot of guys are gonna get ahead of the opportunity to actually lead the program that they played for, and now you're in that position, and you get you represent the Bison for anybody who wants to come. You were a Bison. They can't send them by Howard because you were the Howard Bison. You know what it's all about. So how does that feel, man? Representing your school like that, man, and leading them now.
Yeah, I'm so proud, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity, you know, that President Frederick and the athletic director and athletic department gave me the opportunity, you know, to be in this position to lead the next generation of college athletes, you know, at Howard. When I was here, you know, I didn't take it for granted whatsoever. I knew where we were, and, you know, of course, being college age, I had my mind of how I would do things and how they would be differently, but never in my farthest mind did I ever think that I would be at some point in time in the position to be the head coach and the director for both programs. It really came kind of funny. You know, I talked about the program after graduation, et cetera, and essentially they were like, okay, well, you know, we'll give you a chance to go in there and make the most out of it. And I was like, oh, okay. And once I got the opportunity, you know, put together an amazing coaching staff, and I've had fantastic support from, you know, athletic director Carrie Davis, our senior women's administrator Amy Olson, you know, the Office of Student Affairs, and it's been great. And that's something that I talk to my recruits as well as our current athletes about my experience and how that I get the chance to be an empathetic coach, because I literally swam in the same pool, right? I literally played on the same courts. I studied in the same buildings on campus. I walk the walk, I talk the talk. So I also warn them. I'm like, so, you know, don't come with, you know, no craziness, because, you know, I've been there. I've done that. I understand.
Yes.
If you're gonna tell me something, you better make it real good, because I'm going to see right through it.
That's how me and Coach Perrier feel about Tennessee State. We both with the Tennessee TSU. So we feel like, you can't tell nothing about John Merritt Boulevard that we don't already know. You better come correct. Don't come at all.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. You can't tell me nothing about no John Merritt, baby. You can't tell me nothing about that. I know about how that was with through. Mm-hmm. I know the good, bad, ugly, and all the skeletons, too. You know?
Exactly. So when you walk through the door, you better have your story straight, because I'm going to see, you know, we're gonna see right through it immediately. Like, okay, man, for real? All right, now tell me what really happened.
You no doubt. Now, I know you recruit down my way in Atlanta a lot. So what about the city of Atlanta attracts you to find talent for swimming and diving and tennis, because of, you know, it's a diverse city. I'll count Atlanta. A lot of tennis players in Atlanta, for sure. I know that. A lot of swimming pools here as well. A lot of things going on here. So what about see Atlanta and makes Howard a good fit for tennis players and divers and swimmers here?
Yeah, I mean, for both sports, honestly, the Atlanta metro area is a hotbed for talent. You know, for both of my programs, I'm very adamant about making sure that our teams are a reflection of our campus community. So what that means to us is that the athletes have to, you know, most likely will be predominantly from the African diaspora. So any of the 67 countries from the continent of Africa, from the Caribbean, and obviously here within the United States. So being able to find black and brown people in the Atlanta metro area is definitely one of the hotbeds. And I think that has a lot to do with the amazing coaching that goes on both on the tennis courts as well as at the swimming pools. And it being having so much space, you know, to be able to have so many different programs where there are more of the recruitable athletes that we're most aggressively looking for. And you know, a lot of those coaches for both tennis and swimming came from HBCUs, you know, and have an association with HBCU. So the Atlanta area knows the Howard brand very well. So they're very keen to send their athletes to Howard to gain an amazing education, as well as to continue to go through their athletic endeavors. And, you know, for me, obviously, that's obviously swimming and diving and then tennis. So we're excited about it, and we're excited about continuing to keep that pipeline super strong, you know, and seeing how many more of the athletes from the Atlanta area can come. I don't know if there's some additional secret sauce down there in the ATL that's leading to, you know, such phenomenal athletes, but, you know, we've definitely been the benefactor of seeing so many come down there. And, you know, we've had graduates from Howard, obviously, that, again, continue to really make the brand super strong. You know, the former mayor, Kasim Reed, former mayor, Andrew Young, who, by the way, Andrew Young swam for Howard University when he was here in undergrad. And I, you know, I tell the athletes from that we're recruiting for swimming and diving that all the time. And when he comes to Howard, we make sure that we get a chance to take the team to see him as well.
Yes, most definitely. That's why I was telling all the coaches who are coming to show from Howard, hey, I feel like D.C. is just like Atlanta up east, because the city is kind of the same for diverse, same kind of makeup, same kind of population, same kind of different things to do, eateries, things. So it's a good place to go and kind of have a home feel, but not being at home, because it's the same thing right. At home up in D.C. as well. And also, but you might you will meet people who can help you down the road, get a good job behind your name. People in the U.S. Senate, Congress, people in D.C. who have a lot of power. You can get an internship, you can get the Howard degree behind your name. You're set for the next 40 years of your life. So I tell all the time, hey, the move to D.C. is not a bad thing. It'll remind you of home, but not being at home.
That's right. That's right. That's so right. I mean, there's so many similarities between the two cities. You know, I think, again, you know, as D.C. being the nation's capital is such a melting pot, you know, it has so much diverse culture and experiences that are here within the city. And it's very similar to Atlanta. I love spending time, you know, down there, down in Atlanta, and being able to see, you know, the amazing growth and going, you know, to the previous Olympic Village and everything. And there's so many things that are different, but yet they give you that same vibe.
What is your favorite thing about Atlanta, Coach? I ask you when you come here, the eateries. What do you love to do the most when you're here in ATL, man?
Let me tell you, I'm a foodie, so I I'm originally from North Carolina, so I love soul food. One of my favorite places, and they've gone even more commercial now than they used to be. But when Zaxby's first opened up, you know, that was one of the places that I literally, one of my very best friends from Howard, he and his family live in Atlanta area. And when I was traveling and coaching and I knew I had a layover in Atlanta, I'd make the layover so long that my boy would be able to bring me Zaxby's to the airport. And we would literally have the Zaxby's in the airport and then we would go. And I know, you know, that's much more of a commercial space now, but when they first opened, man, it just, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good to me.
I feel you, Coach. I feel you, man. Let me ask you this, man. You know, a lot of black people don't swim very well, so me included. So for a guy like me in my 30s, others listen to the show, how can we get involved in water? Because a lot of things that sometimes us, we don't really get in the water. Like when I go to the beach, I might put my feet in the water, but I don't go. I ain't trying to get swept up. Like I know if I go in too far, I'm done. So how do we, in the mid-30s, 40s, 50s, and try to get lessons and find places that will help us get over our fear of the water?
You know, I'm so glad you asked, brother, because that's one of the things that I'm very passionate about, being the only HBCU that has a Division I program. It's one of our missions to help more people of color get into the water and learn how to swim. For the biggest reason is that it's a life skill. It's a skill that can truly save your life. And there is no age that you can't begin to learn how to swim. You know, it's one of those things for you. I would encourage you and your peers, learn to swim to break the cycle. Because if you have a fear of it and you have kids or your peers have kids, you're more likely going to instill that fear into them. And if you're able to get in there and get in the water and learn how to swim, then your children and your peers' children are going to be more likely to want to learn how to swim. And again, in our community, you know, the number one and number two killer basically in our black community is hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, diabetes. So the top three, right? Being in the water and having that and swimming is one of the greatest kind of ways to push that away, you know, to make that less likely to happen within our community. So there are extreme health benefits that our community in particular can really benefit from. And when you start to think about those three things, the health benefits, breaking that cycle, getting over the fear, because it will save your life, then I think you'd be even more encouraged to do so. You know, about 8 years ago, the statistics was 70% of African Americans had limited or no swimming ability, right? In the last 5 years, we've been able to bring that down to 65%. So we're making a difference. But again, that's far too many that we truly can make a difference, you know, and bring that down to continue to bring that percentage down so that we can save lives both from being in the water as well as, you know, from those other conditions that I spoke of.
Now, Coach, on the tennis side, you know, I went to tennis camp as a kid. You know, the USTA gives people grants, but sometimes, like, you know, mm-hmm. it gets to the point where it's too expensive almost, you know, trying to get different rackets, you know, go travel to tournaments. You know, for me, I stopped at 10 years old. I still play. But how can we get more kids involved in tennis? Because tennis is what you play your whole life. And it's good for your heart, cardio, running, back and forth, getting in shape. So how can we get more kids beyond that, outside the USTA pipeline? We can get more grassroots tennis organizations going so young men, women can learn tennis and not be stuck under the USTA, who might pick and choose a certain age, okay? You you might develop, you might pop, and, you know, rather than spend on this one big tent, but have our own grassroots in our communities to help young men and women learn to play tennis, and it's like the women's sisters did as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is in each community, there are typically grassroots organizations, nonprofit organizations that are doing a tremendous job of being able to put rackets in young kids' hands and in families' hands, to be honest with you. And so you definitely want to identify those in your local areas. In the Atlanta area, they're not hard to find. The Atlanta area has one of the largest concentrations of tennis players, especially tennis players of color, in the entire country. I believe the organization is called the ALTA, Atlanta Lawn and Tennis Association. So that's huge. And then, you know, also researching the American Tennis Association, which is the nation's oldest tennis association in the country, and starting to really benefit from the resources that they have. And the USTA is actually doing a much better job than they had been previously doing in past years of being able to support organizations like that. I think far too long, people looked at the USTA to kind of be the savior, and this is where I needed to go and have to go, and they have to support me or they have to pick me. But now it's more of the USTA is really trying to give resources to these smaller organizations in order to support them, because nobody can do it better than your hometown or your home folks. For the young ones that are continuing to come up, you know, to get involved with that, one of the biggest things I always promote for tennis especially is being a part of an organization where, you know, your friends are a part of it. You feel like it's a family atmosphere, because you're going to, you know, it's the sport of love. You know, you're going to love going, you're going to love playing. But when you get involved and you're just doing lessons all the time, you know, that seems too much, especially for a young one. That's like work. Who wants to go and, you know, at 10 or 12 years old to a tennis lesson? You know, you want to go play. That's what kids want to do. They want to play, they want to compete. And that's more in those environments where you have those grassroots organizations to give them the opportunity to do that. And of course, if you're continuing to show talent, then you can play the tournaments, you know, start getting your tournament count up to compete, you know, at that level. And obviously, you know, there's no one size fits all, but I think that will definitely help, you know, kind of the base.
We have Donald Young here in Atlanta, of course, Chris Eubanks mm-hmm. from Georgia Tech, and Tia Francis Tiafo from the DMV. How much does he come around you guys and help out your program?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're building at Howard is we're trying to develop a deeper pipeline or a deeper connection with the pro tennis players of color. We feel like Howard is a great place for them to be able to want to give back. I think there's a sense, especially, you know, after everything that's gone on this summer, you know, that really kind of ignited with the killing of George Floyd. You know, every black athletes are feeling of a sense of, you know, what else can I do? And black tennis players are no different than that. And one of the things we want to be able to provide and be a place for them as an HBCU, playing a predominantly white sport, is be able to have them have an opportunity to give back. and to, you know, to talk with our team and to speak with the team, and not just them, but also the coaches that work with them. I think that's, it's a win-win situation for obviously our program, as well as, you know, for the tennis players. So we're really excited about that. Francis Tiafoe obviously is from, you know, the DMV. I got a chance to watch him really develop here at the JTCC. That's right here in Maryland, and super excited about his successes and what he's doing. So looking forward to, obviously he would be one of the first ones that we would look to be able to, you know, connect with, to, you know, to spend some time with the team. And then of course, obviously Chris Eubanks, Taylor Townsend, Donald Young, you know, et cetera, are great as well, and welcome, you know, to be able to come back.
Yes, and coach, you know, I'm asking about training the guys on tennis court. Do you train on the hard, true green clay, or the red clay, or you still on some medium pace hard courts? How is it going for you guys?
Yeah. Well, you know, college tennis is predominantly played on the hard court. So, you know, when we train and we compete, it's on the hard courts. A lot of the surfaces, a lot of times where we get a chance to be on different surfaces like red clay or even hard true is going to be in our off season. And that's a time where we, you know, we're really truly working on a lot of development, because, you know, the clay, as you know, you're a former tennis player, you got good tennis knowledge. You know, it takes a lot more point development or shot selection in order to win points on the clay. So, you know, that's great for grinding and training and working on different components of your game. But when we get into collegiate play, it's on the hard predominantly. And so that's what we have at Howard. We've got the 8 outdoor courts that we train and we compete on. And then we also go over to Washington Tennis and Education Foundation to train for indoors. And those are slightly different because indoors a little bit, depending on which indoor, it could be a lot faster, but it's a faster surface. You know, in the outdoors, you also have obviously the different conditions that you have to contend with, in addition to, you know, your opponent.
I love Atlanta. I can go play on some hard true. I can go play on a slow outdoor court. I can play on a medium pace. Some of these indoor courts are playing slower, though. They're playing slower, man. I'm like, this helps me out a lot there. The slower it is, the better I am. So, you know, I need to be a little bit slower for me, man. So, yeah, I play a little slower. I'm good. I need time for these.
Give me a little bit more time.
I need to wind up my soft spin, man. Hey, coach. I use the James Blake backhand. I try to do two hands, man. I say, man, I'm terrible with two hand stuff. I ain't going to one-hander. So I had to go to the James Blake one-hand backhand, man. I can't do the two-hander no more, man.
Love it, love it, love it. That means your footwork's got to be on point.
Hey, I'm going for broke every time, brother. Forehand, I'm afraid I'll be good with the forehand around here, but the backhand, I'm going for broke, man. I'm just going for broke.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So it's going to end one way or the other.
Yeah. Hey, kick, serve, forehand, or backhand corner, I'm going for broke. I'm going for
there
that.
You go.
I don't care. I was going for I know I can't stay in the rally with you. I need to give me a slice backhand. So if you give me a slice, I'll be okay. But I don't have
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have it yet, coach.
I got you. You get on that clay. It'll help you develop that. You know, those defensive skills, and that slice going to come around because you're going to have a chance to stay in that point a little bit more.
No doubt, coach. Tell us this: how can my listeners help both of your programs at Howard? How can they donate to your program, help your programs, make sure that we get send more people to ATL up your way to help your program grow and be prosperous, man, going these years to come here, man?
Yeah, the two biggest things is one, for us, it's about exposure. You know, again, being an Olympic sports, you know, swimming and tennis, we don't get the same type of exposure as, you know, football and basketball. No knock to them whatsoever, but, you know, we understand where we are. So continuing to follow us on social media, continuing to follow us on hubison.com. That's huge. Being able to share it with a friend, tweet it, post it, you know, and everything that you can potentially do over the internet is huge for us, because being able to be out in front, representation matters. You know, one of the reasons why we're seeing such an uptick in minorities participating in the sport of tennis is because of individuals like the Williams sisters. Right. The same thing goes for in swimming, individuals like Maritza McClendon, Cullen Jones, and Simone Manuel, who won the Olympic gold in the previous Olympics. That's huge. So exposure and definitely helps our program. The second thing is contributing, you know, especially in these times of COVID. We've seen the two sports that are getting cut the most right now are swimming and diving and tennis. And that's a scary thought, you know, for anyone who loves both of those sports. And so being able to contribute financially, and this is a difficult time. So we understand, you know, that the contributions may not necessarily be coming in as large or as plentiful, but every dollar counts. You know, going to hubison.com and contributing to our Bison Blue Fund, and using the designation of swimming and diving or designation of tennis absolutely goes directly to our program to be able to help support and make sure that our team has everything that they need in order to be successful.
No doubt, Coach Askew, thank you for your time. Today's been fun talking some swimming and diving tennis with you, man, because, hey, man, it's been fun. Hopefully, you can get on the court with you one day. You can just give me a little lesson about this slice backhand, man. Get me straight, man, so I cannot have to go for every backhand I get, man, where I feel like I'm out of the point, man.
Hey, man, let me tell you, as soon as things are safe for us to travel and everything, I'll definitely be down in the Atlanta area, and I'll glad to get on the court with you. Just got to make sure you bring me some Zaxby's.
I shall. Deal. 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 I got you done, man.
Cool.
This is Coach Askew on the Boston Man Show with Howard Bison from Diving Coach and Tennis Coach. Check them out at hubison.com. Help them out. The link today, people.